Well, good morning. Welcome to chapel this morning. Would you help me thank Dr. Mary Jane Holstein on the organ this morning playing for us? It's great to see you again. We actually grew up in Michigan together and we're in college together, so it's great to have you with us. We want to welcome you to this event. We know homecoming events have been happening all week, beginning with the comedian Tuesday night, the breakfast feed last night, the coronation Wednesday night. But this event really launches us into the weekend, this chapel into our homecoming weekend. And so we want to welcome you and know that you'll take advantage of all the events that are planned for you. If you're an alumni and you've arrived earlier than most, or friends or family, we want to welcome you to this special homecoming chapel as well. We want to begin today with a word of prayer. Would you pray with me? Father God, we're so grateful for your love for us, your grace that reached us and provided a place like this for us to come for an education that not only is great academically, but also prepares us spiritually for the life that we'll live outside of this place. As we celebrate that in a special way today, we pray that we would sense that your Spirit is speaking to us in close, and we ask you to speak this morning, for your servants are listening, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you help me welcome our university president, Dr. John Boland?
Thank you very much. Good morning. Well, we are just delighted to have a wonderful group of guests on our campus this weekend as we celebrate homecoming and family weekend together. Let me introduce a few of those folks. Seated on the platform is our alumni president, Mr. Denny Williamson. Denny, would you stand, please? And we welcome Denny back. We also have our alumni board of directors meeting last night and today as well, and we welcome those individuals. I think they are seated in the balcony. We're glad that you're here. We welcome Dr. David Graves and Sharon back to Olivet's campus. Dr. Graves is a general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene and a distinguished Olivet graduate. Wednesday night, we gathered in Chalfont Hall for the coronation of this year's homecoming queen and court, and it was a terrific evening, a wonderful expression of the mission of Olivet and the quality of the young men and women who make up our student body. We are pleased to have the queen and the court on the platform today. I'm going to ask them to stand as I introduce them, and if you'll hold your applause to the end. First, our queen for 2015 homecoming, Miss Jessica Dirks. Jessica is from Downers Grove, Illinois, and she is a math education major. Joining her on the court are Laura Gravin, Joelle Mannion, Megan McKinley, and Katie Reed. Let's welcome them. Thank you, ladies. Each year, the Alumni Association during homecoming presents two awards called the O Award. These are presented tomorrow night at a concert and dinner, but the award recipients are with us this morning, and I'd like to just recognize those two individuals. First, Dr. Don Williamson from the Olivet Class of 1954. He is a retired businessman, a former member of the Olivet Board of Trustees and our foundation board. And Dr. Rod Reed, a 1984 graduate who's currently serving as Vice Chancellor of Africa Nazarene University in Nairobi, Kenya. Gentlemen, would you stand and let us congratulate both of you. Four years ago, the Alumni Association introduced a new award program to be presented during the homecoming chapel. It's a program designed to recognize the achievements, the success, and service of young alums who graduated within the last 10 years. This award is underwritten by a generous gift to the university from Mel and Judy Sayes of the class of 1973. Mr. Sayes is an attorney in Little Rock, Arkansas. His father, Dr. J. Otis Sayes, for many, many years was a distinguished member of our faculty and head of our religion department. I'm going to ask Mel and Judy to stand, and we want to express our appreciation to you for your generosity. Just a little bit later in the service, we will hear more about, in fact, we'll hear from the two recipients of this year's Young Alumni Award winners, but I would like to present them to you at this time. And so I'm going to ask Lauren Larson and Rusty Funk to join me here, along with Denny Williamson, as we make the formal presentation. Come close. Well, we are delighted to have you both back on campus and to learn a little bit about your story, what's happened in your life in the few years that you've been out from Olivet. Part of the design of this award program is to demonstrate in very real, tangible ways that you don't have to wait decades to make a difference, that right after graduation you can begin to influence the world. And so, on behalf of the Alumni Association and Olivet Nazarene University, we're happy to present the 2015 Young Alumni Awards. First, to Lauren Larson. Congratulations. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and present to Rusty Funk. As a further encouragement to young Olivet students and graduates, the Alumni Association has added to this Young Alum Award a scholarship given to two current Olivet students. And these scholarships are also made possible through the generosity of the Sayes family. This year's recipients are Anna Berkey, an education major from Columbus, Ohio area, and Caleb Miller from Canton, Illinois, a business marketing major. Both of these Olivet students will receive $2,000 scholarships. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, and we congratulate them. Thank you both. I also want to make you aware that this weekend, in conjunction with homecoming, the university is conducting two very special ceremonies. Immediately following this chapel service, I will have the honor of formally establishing the Charlene S. Hawkins Chair of Instrumental Music. The purpose of this chair is to provide encouragement and support to faculty who are engaged in preparing instrumental musicians for lives of service and professional accomplishment, and to recognize and permanently honor the grace and integrity of a wonderful, wonderful woman named Charlene Hawkins. Charlene was a devoted follower of Christ, a passionate champion of excellence. She was a beloved mother, wife, grandmother. She and her husband, Ken Hawkins, loved music and were devoted supporters of Olivet. In fact, they rarely ever missed a homecoming. Charlene was a terrific lady who had a winsome, really a very vibrant personality, and her life, unfortunately, was cut short after a long battle with cancer. The Hawkins family has become a familiar name here at Olivet. We are seated this morning in this beautiful Hawkins Centennial Chapel. One of our young alumni award recipients, Lauren Larson, her maiden name was Lauren Hawkins. In fact, Charlene was her great aunt. So we honor Charlene Hawkins today, and we welcome members of her family, particularly her daughter, Cheryl McLean, and Charlene's son, Terry Hawkins, and his family as well. I'm going to ask the family members of the Hawkins, some are seated here and some in the back, would you please stand as we recognize and thank you today? By investing in Olivet, this family touches the lives of students, not just now, but really for generations to come. Later this afternoon, we'll also have the opportunity to have a formal recognition of the generosity of Don and Faith Bell from Olathe, Kansas. Don and Faith, both Olivet alums, have invested heavily in the ongoing support of Olivet and also our sister institution, Mid-America Nazarene University. And among the many contributions of the Bell family, we're particularly thankful today for their vision and their generosity to provide a gift of property, 24 acres of property, which now houses our Roaring Tigers ROTC training center, our intramural fields, and the practice facility for our marching band. That property will be known as the Don and Faith Bell West Campus. It's great to have Don and Faith with us as well, and I'm going to ask them to please stand. I don't know quite where you are, but if you'll stand, Don and Faith Bell. Right. One of the nice, often unspoken parts of homecoming is it reminds us that there is a great group of men and women scattered all around the world, really, who believe in Olivet students, who want to come alongside and provide an enriched experience for all of you. We now have the opportunity and privilege to hear from our Young Alumni Award recipients. They come to us this morning with words of testimony, encouragement, and admonition. I'm pleased to present Lauren Larson and Rusty Funk.
Growing up as the daughter of a United States Army chaplain, Lauren Larson had lived in 8 different states and 2 different countries by the time she graduated from high school. Today, she lives and works in Chicago, leading a $130 million feminine health business for Procter & Gamble. In her studies at Olivet, Lauren excelled as a business management major, participating in the classroom and through Enactus. Her internship with Procter & Gamble, the world's largest consumer company, resulted in a full-time job after graduation. Her career with P&G includes a quick rise from an intern to a senior account executive working on more than 30 brands. Lauren has always been involved in local and global missions. She helped bring Operation Christmas Child to Olivet in 2006 and spent 3 weeks in Uganda distributing medical supplies and sharing the gospel in orphanages and camps for internally displaced persons. She met her husband, Joe, at Park Community Church in Chicago. They married in February 2014 and welcomed their first child, Samuel, this past June.
Well, good morning, Dr. Bowling, the alumni board, and so many in this room that made Olivet the amazing experience it was for me. Thank you. And thank you for calling this. I'm sure Rusty and I both appreciate the young versus the old alumni award, because I'm looking out at a room of some good-looking early 20-somethings, so it's pretty sweet to be considered part of the young crowd this morning. You know, James 1:17 tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above. I'm only standing here in this moment because God has been so generous to me. He's initiated every good and perfect gift. You see, for so much of my life, I thought I was the initiator, that whether it was good or bad, that it all fell on me, that I may have initiated my Olivet experience, that I may have initiated my career, that I may have initiated the relationship with the man that I now get to call my husband, and that I may have initiated failures. And it was all on me. But what God's taught me is that He's the initiator, right? And whether it's strengths and good or weaknesses and failures, that He intentionally has put Himself in my life. He's not just pinch hitting here and there. He is intentionally playing in my life. Do any of you relate to feeling that pressure that you initiate everything, that it's all on you? Well, if you do, you're sitting in the same spot I was when I was at your stage, and I want to encourage you this morning to A, recognize that God's the initiator, and to B, then once you recognize that He initiates every good gift, that all you have to do is respond in stewarding well for Him. Steward well for Him. You know, if I think back, I can think of 2 very distinct stories I want to share with you over the next couple minutes where He's taught me to steward well for Him. One is in my physical health, and the second is in my career. When I was a freshman at Olivet, I think my professors might say that I was a disciplined student. However, my parents probably wouldn't say, hi, mom and dad, that I was disciplined with my Tiger Dollars account. Can anyone relate? And as I think back to my freshman year, I'm not proud of it, but the reason that my Tiger Dollars were evaporating at an insane pace was that a few of my girlfriends and I actually really got on the bandwagon of a concept Taco Bell once coined as fourth meal. Can I get an amen? And between frequenting Bourbon A's finest fast food establishments every evening for fourth meal and really treating exercise like the plague, we found ourselves gaining much more than our fair share of the freshman 15. And it actually wasn't until several years later that I read the verse. I was in my first assignment with P&G out in Boston, and I read this scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple? Therefore, honor God with your body. And when I read that scripture for the first time, God really illuminated it outside of its traditional context. And he essentially challenged me in saying, Lauren, I've gifted you with everything that you have, and I've gifted you with health, and you're essentially trashing it. And so I felt so convicted in that moment that I actually Googled a running trail and drove out to a running trail. And well, let me just paint the picture for you. So if you know me, you know I love to accessorize. And so I had the look of a runner down, let me tell you. And I even downloaded a handy-dandy little Nike app. And I thought, you know what, for starters, let's just start with a mile, presidential fitness test style, and we'll go from there. And so I get going, and I'm giving it my all. In several minutes, I'm literally, you know, bent over in exhaustion, trying to catch my breath. And I thought to myself, man, whew, that was tough, but I completely owned that mile, maybe even a mile point two. And I pulled out my Nike app, and I thought my vision was blurred from exhaustion because it seemed to read 0.4 miles. 0.4. Couldn't even run a half a mile straight. And what could have been a really discouraging moment, right? Funny now, wasn't funny then. What could have been a really discouraging moment, God turned into an encouraging moment for me. And I essentially heard him say, Lauren, just walk till you can run again. And that's what I did. And a week later, I could run a mile. And 3 months later, I completed my first half marathon. And 6 months later, I was able to complete the Chicago Marathon with actually one of my girlfriends, fourth meal friends from Olivet, who God was putting a distinct conviction on her heart as well, I suppose. And the next year, I actually got the privilege to run with a purpose behind Rusty's incredible organization, World Vision. And I tell you that story not to say you're not a great believer if you don't run marathons, because that's absolutely not true. But I bring you that story to challenge your heart this morning the way God challenged mine, that every good gift is from him, right? And so we get to steward that well for him, including our health. The second story I want to tell you real quick is around career. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. I still remember back my sophomore year, end of my sophomore year at Olivet, and I was sitting in Dr. Linda Allen's office. Yeah, right? Love that lady. And I was sitting in her office, and it was a pretty serious conversation because I was actually considering transferring to another business school because I really wanted to land an internship with a Fortune 500 company, and I thought maybe if I go to a big name recognition business school, they may have the inroads there. And instead of trying to sell me to stay, Linda instead listened and asked if she could pray with me. And that was a really pivotal time in my years here at Olivet. And coming out of that meeting, I really had a peace that God had me exactly where he wanted me to be in Olivet, and that he was essentially training me for life here. And if I continued to apply myself, that he would provide those inroads and make clear my calling. So fast forward a year later, I'm actually on an Enactus trip. Do we have any Enactus folks in the room? That's right. Love you guys. Awesome. Great organization. And I'm on an Enactus trip, and I get a phone call. And it's not just from a Fortune 500 company. It's from a company that sits as number 30 out of 500 on that list, Procter & Gamble. It was my dream company. And they offered me an internship. And so I did the internship, and then a year later, I was able to get an offer to go full-time with P&G. And so several years of my career, on the outside, things looked great. I was progressing at a very fast pace in my career. And again, everything looked good on the outside. But to be honest, on the inside, it was a big mess. I was anxious. And if you recall earlier what I mentioned about, I always felt like I initiated things. So when I had a success, I felt great. Maybe, I'm not even exaggerating, for 10 minutes I'd get a high. And then it was, how do I sustain these kind of results? How do I one-up myself next time? And when I had a failure, well, that was a major hit to my confidence and identity, and I'd start to question my worth. And it went on for several years like this until I really reached a breaking point a couple years ago. And essentially, I was at a point where I almost walked away from my once dream career. And it was in that moment that God spoke very clearly to me, essentially saying, Lauren, don't you know that this career is a gift, that it's your calling, that I put this in your lap? And don't you know I've equipped you with every gift you need to succeed? But it's got to be for me. It can't be for you. Steward well for me. And I made a decision that day that my career and everything else in my life belonged to the Lord. And let me tell you, 2 years later, my career has continued to grow in scope. And more importantly, I get to walk into the office every day, and I love my job, and I'm passionate about it, and I have joy because it's a calling, right? I think you guys are talking about calling this semester in chapel, and God has given me a distinct calling in my life, and it's because I'm stewarding well for Him. I share those two stories this morning in hopes that that resonates with a few of you in the room today. As you sit here really on the cusp of your future, right? You sit here in this great training ground known as Olivet. And so my challenge is for you that A, you recognize that every good thing in your life is from the Lord. And then B, my prayer is that you will then recognize and then take the step to steward well in response to those gifts for the Lord, that you'll steward well your physical health, that you'll steward well your career, that you'll steward well this wonderful Olivet experience. Let me tell you, it's a huge, huge blessing. And that you'll steward well in wherever He calls you. Steward well for Him. Thank you.
Rusty Funk graduated from Olivet with a bachelor's degree in youth ministry. He moved to Chicago's East Garfield Park neighborhood, one of the city's most underserved and violent neighborhoods, to work with Breakthrough Urban Ministries alongside men experiencing homelessness. In 2011, Rusty joined the staff of Team World Vision. Since then, he and his team have partnered with more than 300 U.S. churches and schools. They have empowered more than 20,000 individuals to finish their first half or full marathon races, resulting in more than $25 million for World Vision's water projects in East Africa. Rusty has even activated Olivet Student Body to be part of this movement. Since 2011, more than 400 ONU students, faculty, and staff have finished the Chicago Marathon. They've raised the funds to provide clean water for 6,000 individuals. He and his wife, Annalisa, live in Chicago. They share a passion for connecting the American church to the global poor in new and inventive ways.
That video is a little bit of an awkward way to be introduced. It alludes and it kind of paints the picture to you guys that I am in any way, shape, or form athletic. That is not the case. I can run in a straight line for a long period of time. If you ask me to move quick, that's not going to happen. I can't jump worth beans, and if I try to move laterally, there's a 50-50 shot. I'm going to break my own ankles. If you don't believe me, there's two people I want you to ask. The first is Coach Hodge, who I think is sitting back there. I only lasted a year on Olivet's basketball team, but that was plenty of time for him to be able to testify to my lack of athleticism. The second person I want you to confirm it with is my dad. My dad got a front row seat to the widening gap between my dreams of playing in the NBA and my lack of skill. Luckily, my dad didn't burst my bubble, but he was wise and thoughtful. And one day, when I was 12 years old, shooting hoops out front of our house like we often did, he said, Rusty, what's the goal of basketball? You know, being a hotshot 12-year-old who's going to make it in the NBA. I said, it's to win, of course, Dad. He said, no, isn't it for your team to win? And I'm like, oh, yeah, totally, it's for your team to win. Kept on shooting. He said, then you got to understand something, son. In order to win, every team has things that need to be done on it that nobody else wants to do because they're not glorious. In fact, they're ugly, painful, and really, really messy. He said, Rusty, your success in basketball is going to come down to how you answer this one question. Are you willing to do the things that nobody else wants to do? Are you willing to do the things that nobody else wants to do? That phrase stuck with me, and I started looking at the bigger picture of the team, assessing the needs and gaps and holes, and saying, man, if I filled those holes, maybe we could win more. In basketball, that meant setting a lot of picks, diving on the ground, getting rebounds, and I hate to admit it, pinching, pulling, and throwing the occasional, or more than an occasional, elbow or two. It wasn't a glorious role at all. There was not a high scoring average involved. There was no dunks, there was no three-pointers. It left me bruised, bloody, and oftentimes exhausted, but it worked, and I started to take pride in it. It even got me the chance to come play basketball here at Olivet. But it was during my first year at Olivet that my life started to switch, and I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life when I was a freshman here at Olivet. And I gotta pause you for a second, because this is where you students start checking out. Because I had this really cool story going about basketball, then you heard me talk about the Holy Spirit, and you think that this is where Jesus comes to his life. I've heard this story before. Then there's like rainbows and roses and unicorns after that. I know this story. I've heard this before. That's what you're thinking. So I've got to stop you right now and say, check this out. This is not that story. That is not my story. My story is a story of struggle, a journey of hypocrisy that I'm on even to this day. What happened at Olivet is I started to realize that on the basketball court, I was willing to sacrifice for the team, play the role that needed to be done despite the dirtiness of that job. But in every other aspect of my life, from the clothes I wore, to the car I drove, to the friends I pursued, to the easy job I hope I landed after graduation, every other aspect of my life was about two things: protecting my comfort zone and expanding my privilege. Protecting my comfort zone and expanding my privilege. While that conviction started happening in my heart and I started to wrestle with it and deny it and say, that's not true, at the same time, my eyes were open to the poor and the hurting and the suffering of the world. And through some incredible people here at Olivet, I met a new Jesus. A Jesus who would do whatever needed to be done, play whatever role the team needed to play, be played, despite the cost, he would serve the poor and bring them dignity and hope. And I started to see that the words that my dad gave me when I was 12 years old were not meant for basketball. They were meant for a life of trying to imitate Christ. Are you willing to do the things that nobody else wants to do? So today, students, faculty, and staff, I need to thank you. Thank you for being the people that pointed me to that Jesus and his heart for the poor. People who started out as professors and roommates and became lifelong friends. People who challenged me to think outside my comfort zone. People who introduced me to a Jesus who is daring us to trust him, inviting us to risk for him, and loving us when we fail miserably. But I also need to leave you with a challenge. Resisting the temptation to protect my comfort zone and expand my privilege is a daily battle for me. And I don't know about you, but I stink at it. Innately, I choose comfort and privilege without even thinking about it, and it's hard to do otherwise. It's messy, it's ugly, and it leaves us bloody and bruised and exhausted. And unfortunately, those of us who are in the official ministry roles and who work at churches and NGOs and these beautifully awesome things, we're often the first to give in to this temptation. We take a courageous leap of faith and then grow comfortable in that leap. We pat ourselves on the back for that one time we risked many years ago. We get an award and then we... Guys, we got to name it. We got to admit it. And we gotta fight like crazy every day against it. My challenge to you is this, that you start every day, whether you're 18 years old or 85 years old, no matter what risk you've taken in the past, you start every day by seeking out that faint, quiet, small voice of Jesus, asking you again, are you willing to do the things that nobody else wants to do? And you simply and audibly say yes.
There are no orphans, no strangers, nobody on the outside with God. The kingdom of God is inclusive. There's a place for everyone. And the God we serve is a God of multiplication, a God who takes whatever we have and has a special way of multiplying that. I want to thank Lauren and Rusty for what they've said to us today. Lauren sat where you sat not long ago. She now has a little different perspective, being out for a while. And her challenge is to look at the world through the lens of stewardship. She reminds us that life is not about what we have, but what we do with what we have. And when we give it to God, He opens doors we never thought of. He multiplies what we have. Rusty pushes a thumb in our back to say, don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone. You may have some ideas, all of us would, of where we should go in life, but God maybe has a bigger idea. Rusty and his work has helped mobilize millions of dollars, making a huge difference and finding a way for us to be part of that. All we have been given. All we are in Christ. May all we do be done for His kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this moment. It's been a powerful reminder that there is a depth and a quality of life that transcends what we can see and touch and feel. We're thankful for the shaping influence of Olivet Nazarene University, for young men and women who come to this campus from all around the world, and you begin to work in their life in classrooms, in laboratories, in resident halls, on athletic fields. And you weave together a tapestry of grace. And there comes a day when those students walk across this very platform and they're handed a degree and they move on to the world beyond Olivet. We've caught just a glimpse of what that might look like today in the life of Lauren and Rusty. Heavenly Father, I think of the closing words from our chapel on Wednesday of this week, when our speaker, with a quiver in his voice and a bit of tear in his eyes, looked at this great group of students and said, "There is great possibility in this room." I believe it's true. Thankful that you've provided a place like Olivet that prepares young men and women to do far more than make a living, but prepares them for life, a life of significance and a life of service. Be with all of us. Help us to keep in our minds and hearts these words we've heard today. And then, Father, we pray that you would flood every part of this homecoming and family weekend with added joy and grace, strengthen our relationships, and multiply our influence in this world. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's have a great, great weekend.